I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
His G League debut.
How did he do?
Damn near had a triple-double.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
27 points.
He's too good to be playing in the G League.
10 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. He did have 4 turnovers. The C-dubs were victorious.
Who'd they play last night?
The ACC Clippers.
Okay.
The AC Clippers.
All right.
Yeah, the AC Clippers.
I'm a big Fort Wayne Mad Ants fan.
All right. Yeah, I think you even may have had a...
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
You may have some Mad Ants gear.
Shooting shirt. Yeah, what have you. Sure.
Yeah, may or may not have a Mad Ants shooting shirt. But yeah, Kai Bowman,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
27-10-8.
Yeah.
I mean, he instantly goes down there. He's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah. I mean, he's more than holding his own at the NBA level, right? He was averaging around 8 a game and shooting a good clip from the three-point arc. So he doesn't belong down there. And I understand Steve Kerr says we want him to work more on having a point guard mentality, not just shooting less, but just thinking more big picture rather than score, score, score. So, okay, I could see how he could benefit from that. But I think he's too good to be playing in that league.
And do you think he's another case of – a player, hey, you better hang on to him because there are other teams that have scouting departments that are thinking, hey, if he comes available, we'll sign him like that.
I thought it was interesting also that Steve Kerr talked about what his role would be, and he says he's going to be a backup point guard, right? And so it's really important for him to get us into our offense, but also to hound the other team's point guard when he comes in to really set the tone defensively. So they've got clearly in mind a role for him going forward. I just don't know how much he's going to learn there at Santa Cruz.
And that is one of the fascinating things. And let's be honest. I mean, he's in Santa Cruz. The main reason he's in Santa Cruz is because he's got 13 days of NBA service allotted to him between now and the middle of March, as things are currently constituted. He's got 13 days of service over the next 3 months, basically, unless the Warriors can. And they don't have to necessarily make it all the way to March, but the Warriors at some point are going to have to either free up a roster. They're going to have to free up a roster spot for him. And that's something that maybe can't happen until the trade deadline. So it may not be the middle of March that they have to make it to, but they may have to massage their way to the next, let's say, 6-7 weeks.
Now, obviously last night, because Kai Bowman didn't play, Jacob Evans had more minutes, right? And it was fun to see him. But I miss seeing Kai Bowman play.
Boy, did you see Anthony Slater?
Maybe my favorite Warrior already this year.
Our friend Anthony Slater did a nice breakdown after the game of the shot selection for Jacob Evans. And it was all mid-range, essentially, except for one. He shot one three-pointer. And there was nothing There was nothing in the restricted area, and it was basically all mid-range. He took 14 shots.
Yeah.
And, in today's NBA, you want to be taking layups or getting fouled or shooting threes. And it was just kind of a – I know he was praised a lot during the broadcast, and even, we talked about it. And our guy Alex Scott brings up the breakdown. But, yeah, it's all basically
the Warriors
mid-range.
Take, as a team, they take a lot of those shots this year. They take a lot of those shots.
Do you need to see him either extend out or get all the way to the basket?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to see him shoot more threes because given the fact that on opening night he was, 4 or 6 beyond the arc?
Right. And that's a part of his game that you're thinking, is it there, is it not there? It was good stuff from Anthony Slater.
That is interesting.
Because he was really praised, I thought, he was so aggressive. He was really aggressive, and that's good. And I know Steve Kerr at times has compared him a little bit to Sean Livingston, who was a master of the mid-range, and darn near didn't take any threes for his entire career.
Well, Sean Livingston just back you down and shoot that turnaround jumper in the post,
which
right?
Was like layup, which was like a layup.
Yeah.
It was like a layup for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jacob Evans got a long way to go, but I thought that was a little bit of something that was worth pointing out. Just, hey, where the shots were coming from and in the context of you know, do you want him to get really good at that, or do you want him to extend it out, or do you want him to be somebody that's getting all the way to the basket? In today's NBA, you are judged and value is assessed to you based on your ability to hit threes and make layups.
And the Warriors are one of the teams that changed basketball and ushered in the era of perimeter-oriented basketball. But this year, they're shooting a lot of twos. They're shooting a pretty high percentage. They're making a high percentage of their twos. But we look at the shot chart every night, and you see other teams, and they're either right at the basket or they're shooting threes. And the Warriors are taking a lot of mid-range shots this year.
Chilton Autobody text line 530 asks, is Smiley Geach going to get some runs soon? It sure doesn't sound like it, right? I know Steve Kerr was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky a couple of days ago, and we reran that during the pregame show yesterday before the Warriors took on the Jazz, and it sure sounds like they are, one, he's behind four or five bigs, really. I mean, you know, to hear Steve Kerr say, well, he would be behind, and he lists, you know, Cauley-Stein and Draymond and Looney
Spellman
and
right.
Chris.
Right.
So essentially he would be the sixth big man on this roster if he's on the roster. Not a lot of minutes for Smiley Geach, it doesn't appear,
no,
at the moment.
I'm with you, 530. I'd love to see him ASAP, but it looks like we've got to be a little more patient.
510 checks in, Chilton Autobody text line. Chris looks like he may pop in the second half of the season. Very skilled, looks like he's putting it together, playing with confidence. Pop in a good way.
Yeah, and such a good passer. I had no idea he could pass.
He has a feel for the game. He has a feel for the game that...
Five assists last night.
You'd want to see. And to me, it's the assists and the blocks are the biggest things, right, with him. And the ability to just finish at the basket. Which he has had some violent finishes.
Yes.
This year, which have been impressive.
I think one of the reasons he's improved and one of the reasons he's been able to stay on the floor is he's cut down on fouls. If I remember, especially as a rookie, he had a lot of problems. He got into foul trouble really quickly. So he's cut down on that, and he's one of the players that's bringing in their edge this year. Plays with a little bit of meanness and toughness.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Some reactions via the Chilton Autobody text line to a number of the different topics that we've had out there over the course of the last 3 hours here on 95.7 The Game. 510 saying it'd be so dumb to trade D'Lo for 30-year-old role players.
That's
kind of where I'm going with it. But, yeah, I mean, where are you kind of on that? I know the trade that continues to come up is the Minnesota trade for maybe a Covington and a Jeff Teague and a Okogie. Maybe there's a pick involved there. I don't know. I'm still of the belief when push comes to shove, it's probably better, if you can, to just find players that are going to be really good fits around Steph and Clay and Draymond for next year.
I think it's a matter of whether you think he's a fit or not, and I just don't see his game meshing with the way the Warriors like to approach it.
But aim high. By all intents and purposes, aim high. I mean, and that's why I think even though the you know, trade window opens tomorrow, I think that's why the Warriors are in no hurry. Because, what I mean, hey, you want D'Angelo Russell to be worth as much as he possibly can be worth if you decide to make a deal. A couple others here. You had asked the question about Draymond Green.
Because we hear from some people who say, Draymond Green's the one they should be trading.
And a couple of replies here, 530 saying, Draymond shines when there's talent around him. He can't show his value with the current squad. So some fans, short-sighted, they would want to trade him because his value just doesn't show up on a less talented team. 510, I'd want to keep Draymond, but believe his body will start to break down as he gets older. Steph and Clay can age gracefully because they're excellent shooters.
Yeah, I think Draymond's already shown some of the mileage. Obviously, they all are, right? Although you can't say Steph Curry broke his hand because of the mileage. But the Warriors are doing a good job this year, or at least they're very mindful of taking care of Draymond. That's why he didn't play last night, giving him a chance to recover.
And you know, if Draymond is declining, and I think you could make a case there is maybe a little bit of some signs of wear and tear and all the injuries, where does that leave? I mean, you really, if you're going to move forward, that's where, if you're the Warriors and you're looking at ways to get back to a contending level, that's where a big part of it is not just offense. It's also how do you offset some of the defense? And what types of players do you bring in that can help you on that end, an end where, you know, you would think, okay, and Draymond's still going to be able to pass. Draymond's still going to be a hell of an intelligent player. But if physically maybe he can't quite do the things that he's been doing next year, how do you look to potentially maybe offset that? And in what areas do you need to be better defensively is what I'm saying.
Well, look, I think they're counting on him to be Draymond at least through next year, right? I mean, I don't know that they have a plan for if he can't guard people anymore.
Well, I don't mean not guard people, but not guard people at the level that he has. I think there's some wiggle room there, no? Not much?
As far as what's your plan,
I
guess.
Guard people or not guard people.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a good and willing and unselfish defender. And even though, you know, the shooting has been dreadful this year, and we all know that he wanted to improve his three-point shot. The Warriors wanted him to improve his three-point shot. But still, offensively, you can run your offense through him. He's such a great passer and facilitator. I don't think he's anywhere near the point where he's no longer useful to you.
Yeah, and honestly, it's, you know, will the physicality that he displayed, our buddy Alex Scott chime it in here.
Alex Scott, never heard of him.
Useless. No, I'm kidding. No, with the physicality of his career, you know, early in his career, will he be paying a price for it? Will it take a toll on his prime? In essence, his prime and the back end of his prime, maybe there isn't as much there as there would be for a player that wasn't as physical and got so much out of his body earlier in his career.
Didn't he just have a kind of a stealth triple-double, but he just posted a triple-double?
I actually think people are sleeping a little bit on Draymond. Like, I think Draymond's still capable next year of being at a really high level. And I think he's also smart enough to know that this year is a year where maybe he doesn't have to be full max Draymond. And, you know,
right.
I mean, look, go back to the spring. I mean, he spoke about losing 20 pounds and getting in great shape. And you go back to, we had a caller earlier that mentioned that Portland series in the Western Conference Finals where he was just dominant. I mean, you can make a case he was the MVP of that series for the Warriors.
That wasn't that long ago.
That was in May.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, I think he is smart enough to know his own body and where his wiggle room is, and also knowing what's a sabbatical year. You know, there are some out there that believe, you know, hey, that's part of the reason why Draymond took the contract that he took, rather than play out this year where maybe it doesn't look as good without Steph and Clay around, and then teams maybe not want to offer me, winds up having to take a discount.
One of the reasons the Warriors had the sustained success that they've had is because they've had so many players who are unselfish, so many players who were able to and willing to put the common good ahead of their own good. Iguodala is a great example. Iguodala agreeing to come off the bench. And Draymond has been another one of those players who has done all of the dirty work and made all the sacrifices, putting the team ahead of his own interests. And that set the tone for the whole organization and the success that they've had.
Yes, it really has. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. I shouldn't be laughing. This is a serious topic. I was watching some guys over there shooting and having we got Klay Thompson's replacement maybe right there.
Oh yeah, we got Klay and Steph Curry.
Yeah. Going at it in the splash zone.
Throwing the plastic balls.
Yeah, the little mini balls.
Yeah. I'm one for one.
At all the
I am the all time career field goal percentage leader.
And then you just retired.
Yeah.
Right?
Alex, you saw it, right? Yeah, see, he saw it.
Oh, okay. Whitey was touting himself as a shooter. A knockdown shooter, and I couldn't, I wasn't buying it. I said, well, if nobody saw it, did it even actually happen? And I guess Alex could vouch that it actually did happen.
Yeah. No one in history has a higher field goal percentage than me right over there.
Nobody. Right over there.
Nobody.
All right. Well, the young Steph and young Clay were giving you a run for your money, but they did not, in fact, hit every single shot. So,
no, they didn't.
No.
Volume shooters.
I can confirm.
Volume. They're scorers, not shooters.
They are, yeah. They're, yeah, exactly. Volume shooters. And big time scorers.
When can I give you my NBA Who Am I for this week?
I think now's a good time.
Yeah?
I think now's a really good time for
all
NBA.
All right. Do you
Who
want people
I?
To call in on this? Or do you just...
We can unless I just, like Dikembe Mutombo, go, not today.
Yeah, okay. You may annihilate this one. Although some of the youngsters last night when I tried this out, they flailed. They had no idea.
Oh, the Boyquarium that is our producer room?
Brian Mouser kind of, and he's very good at this, but he struggled last night. Okay, NBA Who Am I? You know that Vince Carter played this week in his 1,500th NBA game?
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't been watching the Hawks much lately. I know that may surprise you.
When he played in his 1,500th NBA game Tuesday, Vince Carter joined an exclusive 5-member club. Vince and I are the only members of this club who never won an NBA championship. So you got 5 guys.
So there's 5 guys that
three
have played
of them 1,500 games, and only 5 guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So 3 of those guys have won a championship. Vince Carter hasn't, and this guy's the only other one in the 1,500 game club who never won a championship.
Wow. Okay. My initial guess is John Stockton.
That is exactly right. John Stockton for 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
John Stockton. Way to go, Alex. Yeah.
Wow. Look at that.
Initially, I had it, and I am the only guy who's under 6'2", but I thought that'd be too easy.
Now, that'd be so very easy.
Yeah.
But our guys didn't get that. All right.
Wow. Actually, I don't want to say who, but it was someone guessed last night, Carmelo Anthony. So, wow. So I'll tell you how far off track they were on that.
Wow,
last
that's
night.
Very off track. Yeah. All right, John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason. It's Warriors this week. Connor Letourneau's going to join us next, and then Whitey's going to dunk. That's all between now and 1 o'clock.
I think I just pulled a hammy
on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason, we're out at Hooptopia here at Thrive City. Warriors this week with you until 1 o'clock. Warriors and the Kings tomorrow. Joining us now, though, on the Dialpad guest line is Connor Letourneau, covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. Always good to catch up with Connor. Connor, how are you? Did you make it back safely from Salt Lake City?
Yeah, I did. I did. Got in a little bit ago. Thanks for letting me push it back. I know I was supposed to go on a little bit earlier, but the flight got delayed. There was some snow last night in Salt Lake City, so they had to defrost the plane and what have you. So thanks for being amenable.
Yeah, all good. We shuffled some things around, and it works out, and we're happy to have you. One of the questions of the day, Connor, that we will throw at you, why has this Warriors team been more competitive when they've been more shorthanded in the last few weeks?
That's an interesting question, and I think there's a couple different answers. I think the main reason is probably that the young guys really feel an onus to prove themselves and prove that they belong in this league. You know, that this a big narrative for this entire season is the guys who aren't super well known, the unheralded rookies, and even guys who've kind of bounced between teams like Alex Burks and Glenn Robinson III, have a true opportunity to show what they can do and hopefully carve out their niche at this level. And when you have guys like Draymond and now Eric Paschal, who's proven himself to be a leader of this team, you're going to need guys like Damian Lee and Glenn Robinson and Marcus Chris to step up. And I think they embrace that and are excited about that because they know what that means, not just for the team, but for their own careers.
Connor, is Marcus Chris going to be starting before too long?
You know, that's been some buzz, and I completely understand why. I know that Steve tends to like starting the prototypical 7-footer at center, and I wouldn't be surprised if you still saw him starting Willie Cauley-Stein, but continuing to give Marcus Chris more and more minutes. Steve isn't someone who puts a ton of stock in who starts games. It's obviously more about who ends games. I think he likes the rotation right now with Willie Cauley-Stein starting, so My guess would be that Willie stays the starter, but Mark Curtis will continue to have more and more responsibility going forward. He's been super impressive the past few weeks. I think it took him a couple weeks to get his feet under him and get used to this system. You know, a big reason why he made the roster in the first place was his ability to thrive and dribble handoffs with Steph Curry. And then when Steph went down, he had to adjust and find how he could be helpful in this offense and pick his spots defensively. And I think I've really seen him improve more than anything defensively the past week or so, which is where he struggled most of the season. So, you know, this, people forget this guy's only 22 years old. You know, the sky is really the limit for him. You know, there was a reason why he was a lottery pick just a few years ago. So an absolute steal as a training camp invite, minimum contract guy, a guy whose contract is not even guaranteed until a couple more weeks. And any chatter about him getting cut to free up that that roster spot, that 15-man roster spot for Kai Bowman, I think is moot at this point. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I agree with you about the starting lineup. Now, I know they'd been getting off to some slow starts, but last night the Warriors outscored the Jazz 29-22 in the first quarter, so if they can keep that up, there's no compelling reason to take Willie Cauley-Stein out of the starting lineup. And isn't there something to be said for what Marquese Chriss brings you off the bench?
Yeah, I think he really thrives with the lineup within that second unit. That second unit was really the driving force last night between their big run, and I think they play well off each other. And I think Marquese Chriss is a guy who can match up a lot of times with the second unit big, maybe a little bit better than he can the first unit big. This is a guy who's not a true center, but has proven to me over the past few weeks that he might be better for the Warriors at center than power forward. So exciting stuff for the Warriors. He's just another example of a young guy who is proving that he deserves to be in the Warriors' long-term plans, that he could be a legitimate, helpful rotation piece on a 2020-21 team that's hoping to contend again.
Now, Connor, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and I apologize for the blunt nature of this question. And I'm half kidding as I ask it, but I'm also half serious. Do Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell like playing together?
I think they do. You know, they actually have a pretty good rapport in terms of interpersonally. I know
sure.
that they spent time together off the court. I think there are parts about D'Angelo Russell's game that historically Draymond has not been a fan of him. I'm not talking about D'Angelo specifically. I'm just talking about
yeah.
in general. Draymond has not been a fan of guys who thrive in pick and roll and command the ball. He wants to spread the floor, share the ball, and have that egalitarian ethos that the Warriors really pride themselves on. And it's been an interesting dynamic. I'm actually writing about this today, how the Warriors have had to navigate wanting to hold on to those motion principles while still giving D'Angelo Russell his opportunities. And it seems like when they've had success in the past couple weeks, it's been using D'Angelo more as a decoy rather than a focal point of the offense. A lot of times when he goes off for 30-something, maybe even 50 points, as he did against Minnesota, they end up losing the game. And this is part of the reason why I don't feel like D'Angelo Russell is going to be a long-term fit for the Warriors, because they have to sacrifice what they really want to do for him to get his numbers.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I was going with it. I mean, it seems like for him to function, he has to operate a certain way, but it just doesn't, you know, forget about even this year, although I do think there's been more of a concerted effort, as you are alluding to and are going to write about. It seems like there's been a real concerted effort since he's returned from this latest injury to make sure that he's fitting in under the context of whatever the Warriors want to do, just generally more than maybe he was after he came back from the last injury, where they kind of just let him go off and it was helping him, you know, contend and stay in some games. But the bigger picture is next year. How does it fit for next year? And if he has to operate in the manner of go get 50, go get 40, I just don't see how that's conducive to a team that sees itself, you know, being, let's say, back in the top you know, four of the Western Conference next year.
I agree. And as you guys know, the players who were free agent signings or free agent acquisitions past summer are eligible to become traded starting tomorrow. So that chatter surrounding D'Angelo is only going to heat up going forward. And I've talked to people in the front office who basically told me the odds of him being traded this season are minimal. They're going to wait until at least this upcoming summer, because they just are going to have a lot more options of what they can do, whether or not they want to pair it with the lottery pick. I've talked to people in the front office who aren't necessarily that high on anyone in the top five, potentially. So I think it's very possible that they pair D'Angelo Russell with a top five pick and try to get, you know, someone big time to pair with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. And, you know, the reality is, as tough as this season is, the Warriors have a lot of options to get better. But I would be really surprised to see D'Angelo on the team next season. As good as he's been in the locker room, as positive as he's been, I think he's just not a good fit from an X's and O's perspective. And even though the sample size was small with Steph, they just didn't work together. D'Angelo had the worst plus-minus in the entire NBA through those three games with Steph. It'll be good to see how he does when Steph potentially comes back in March. You know, it'll be good to have a little bit bigger sample size of them together. But in the meantime, it'd be nice for the Warriors if he can just continue to pad his numbers and look more appealing as a trade chip.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive, but it could be true, and I think it is. I agree with you. Good guy, good player, bad fit. So we'll see going forward what happens. I wanted to ask you about, you wrote today in the Chronicle about moral victories. Last night, another moral victory for the Warriors. And you talked about the importance of eventually winning games for the sake of the locker room. The loss to the Knicks, even in this season of struggle, was that a real slap in the face to lose to the Knicks after they'd lost 10 in a row?
Yeah, it was both the loss to Memphis and the loss to the Knicks and the way it happened. You know, you're at home, you're against teams that are very beatable, even for a Warriors team that's struggling. The Warriors are getting much healthier. And obviously they don't have Steph, they don't have Klay, but the injuries can't be as much of an excuse anymore when you have 13, 14 healthy bodies. Now, obviously they sat Draymond last night and Pascal was out, but generally speaking, they're pretty healthy right now. And so they're going to be a little bit harder on themselves. And I've talked to a lot of people in the organization who said, look, we're happy with the individual strides guys have made. You know, if you go down it on an individual basis, such as Chris, Eric Paschal, Kai Bowman, Glenn Robinson, these guys have been as good, if not better, than you ever could have expected. But at a certain point, you need a win to just feel good about yourself. You know, they understand the situation. They understand that this is a transitional season and next year should be better. But when you're looking at long losing skids and you're getting beat almost every single night, that's going to wear on any person. So right now I feel like the locker room vibe is still pretty light. It's still pretty positive. But they want to get some wins and maybe get their first winning streak in the entire season just to show that their strides that they're feeling good about are actually translating to wins.
Connor Letourneau, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. Kai Bowman last night at Santa Cruz darn near went for a triple-double. 27 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. He had a couple of steals as well. I know the Warriors are up against it in terms of the total days, so he may have to just bide his time down in Santa Cruz and work on his game in the short term. But how much of a longer-term piece is Kai Bowman becoming for the Warriors once they can figure out a way to actually get him onto their roster full-time?
Yeah, I texted Kevin Dana, the play-by-play voice of Santa Cruz last night. I said, I'm not going to lie, I kind of wish I was in Santa Cruz last night instead of Utah. Kai just went absolutely off in his G-League debut against the Agua Caliente Clippers, had a triple-double, 27 points, I think 10 assists, 8 rebounds. Steve Kerr said earlier in the day that he wanted Kai to really focus on his facilitating in the G League. Obviously, he's shown that he can be a score-first point guard, but can he also prove that he's a worthy passer? And he went out in the G League and just did it all. He passed, he scored, he rebounded, he defended. And it was just further proof that this guy does not belong in the G League. I don't think the Warriors want him there. It's just given the situation with his two-way contract, he's running up. I think he has about 12 days left on his two-way deal with the NBA club before he reaches his 45-day limit. And so they're trying to bide a little bit of time, get Jacob Evans some more opportunities as the backup point guard while they figure out how to free up a 15-man roster spot for Kai. But I do feel like they are 100% committed to finding a way to keep him on the NBA roster through the season and potentially keep him as their backup point guard next season. They're super high on everything he's about, both on the court and off. This is a guy who's humble, down to earth, driven, has been through a lot in his life, left the front office in tears through his combine interview in Chicago, which is a big reason why they signed him to his two-way contract. So, Steve has reiterated multiple times that he is 100% part of their plans going forward.
13 points last night for Jacob Evans. What kind of player do the Warriors envision Jacob Evans becoming?
Yeah, he didn't shoot super well, but he hit a couple critical shots down the stretch. And this guy who's coming back from a hip injury in a couple games. And right before that hip injury, like a legitimate rotation piece, which is a major step up from last season when he couldn't get any minutes on the loaded roster and even struggled to play crunch time in the G League. Just starting to look like a legitimate NBA player. I don't think he has the feeling a lot of these other young guys have, but I do think he can be a helpful piece. And so if they can just get some solid minutes and not let him hurt you, that's really going to be a win. And people forget, this guy was drafted 28th a couple years ago. It's not like he was a lottery pick. Anyone calling him a bust last season was a little bit ill-informed. You can't call the 28th pick a bust ever. A lot of those guys never reached their second NBA contract. So I think he's providing solid value given where he was drafted.
Connor, thanks a lot for the time. We really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Connor Letourneau of the Chronicle joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
He said amenable, egalitarian ethos. I mean, he's got to realize we're radio guys. We don't know what some of those words he's throwing
take it
around.
Down a notch or five?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're a smart individual.
My head is spinning there. Some interesting comments,
though. That's another vote, though, for, D'Angelo Russell. Nice guy. Nothing personal, but...
Good player. Skilled player. Nice guy. Not a fit here. I thought it was more interesting, Connor suggesting something that you've been suggesting, which is the Warriors may very well package D'Angelo Russell with their first-round pick for a really good player.
That's the best way to get the best player, to me, is it's Russell and that pick. You let the other team that you'd be a trade partner with decide what they want to do with it. Who do they want? Do they want James Wiseman? Do they want Anthony Edwards? Do they want LaMelo Ball? I'm kind of in line with what Connor had said about the Warriors front office view. And look, I mean, there's a long time to go, and there may become one player that they're absolutely enamored with and need to get and want to have. But right now, I think it's kind of underwhelming. I mean, Anthony Edwards is the player that stands out the most to me. Wiseman, I think, could be maybe the guy that could help fit short-term better than others because he's a big and a positional fit. I think Anthony Edwards is somebody that may give you the best chance to have somebody that can fit both short and long-term because he's a guard and he can play both positions, looks like. But if you're looking at maximizing the Warriors' championship window with Steph and Clay and Draymond, and you believe that they have another 2 years of championship window, if you add another elite talent to the mix, your best way to get that elite talent is D'Angelo and, let's say, a top five pick.
That's not going to be enough to get Giannis, though, is it?
It's not going to be enough to get Giannis because of how well the Bucks are playing 17
right.
in a row.
That's incredible, by the way. 17 in a row is absolutely amazing.
Well, and as you've said, I mean, you stated earlier on the program here, and we should let everybody know, you've said that the Bucks are going to win 29 straight games. Like you said, hey, they are going to be 29.
I didn't say that, but that's fine if you want. Yeah,
the Warriors on
that's
going to
be on your birthday. That's going to be quite a game to catch.
Yeah,
on your birthday is they'll be going for consecutive win number 30.
It will be better than
the Warriors.
It will be better than last year's game on my birthday was when the Warriors took on the Knicks.
Well.
And it was it was they played the Knicks and the Bulls actually the same week last year that week so
I wanted to ask you about James Harden. He scored 50 again last night against Orlando. He scored 50 or more for the fifth time this season, fourth time in his past seven games. The rest of the NBA has combined for only five such games this season, taking nothing away from James Harden. Does the 50-point game mean a little less than it used to because of James Harden?
I think it means a little less than it used to just based on the fact that there's more guys doing it and more...
And on his usage rate?
And just more possessions, too.
Yeah,
I think
there's
a lot more possessions in a lot of games. So you're getting more attempts to make shots, the three-pointers, the free throws are bumping it up.
10 of 15 from beyond the arc.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Warrior fans, he's not a favorite of theirs. He's just tremendous, though.
Yes, I know even Greg Popovich has talked about how something's lost. The art of the low post game, it no longer has a place in the NBA. Some of the beauty is lost. I've been watching basketball for a long time. Give me today's shooters because that's incredible. 10 of 15 from the three-point line. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The skill level that players now possess, the shooters, I marvel at it.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. We're wrapping up at Hooptopia. And
fun at Hooptopia.
People are having a blast out here. We got a couple going through the
Dunkatorium.
We got the Splash Zone over here. And people continuing to file in and check out the NBA Draft Combine, the NBA Draft Night Experience.
I mentioned that there's upstairs... after you stand on stage with the commissioner, you fly.
They have
and actually you sit. It's like a simulated airplane, and there's a window, and actually you can see the Golden Gate Bridge as you're coming in.
Yeah, like you're going over.
That's
the
incredible.
City.
Yeah.
Well, you're going over, coming into the city because you're going to be playing for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Which is, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. And I'm looking up at you can see the NBA Draft logo, right? There for the draft. It says 2020 on there. So, you can be this 2020 pick is going to be huge for the Warriors.
I went
so.
Up there already. They have a cardboard cutout of LaMelo Ball. I don't know if that means anything, but or maybe I imagined that. It's possible I imagined that.
Well, for you, it would be a cutout of James Wiseman, right?
James Wiseman, yes. Or actually, I'm with you on
Edwards.
With you on that.
We're both, I think, members of the Anthony Edwards fan club. So Warriors coming up here tomorrow against the Kings. Then things get a little bit tougher. Portland, they're playing a couple of those teams that are in the mediocre range right now, fighting for the...
Portland.
You say that about Portland. I say that about Sacramento. Portland should be better than Sacramento, and they're not currently.
Portland's roster's all out of whack.
And then the Pelicans are in town on Friday night.
How about a win? I don't care against who. How about a win? Tomorrow would be nice. A win tomorrow would be nice.
Tomorrow would be a good day for the Warriors to get a win, although the Kings and the Warriors sharing something in common, and that is the fact that, don't know if you saw it last night, but the Kings did lose at home to the Knicks after they had a 16-point lead. Still no De'Aaron Fox for Sacramento. Marvin Bagley is back, and they've actually played very well without those guys the last handful of games to kind of right the ship a little bit. They were woeful early.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to Hooptopia for having us out here. Tickets available limited time, thehooptopia.com.
Keep it locked right here, 95.7 The Game. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Warriors Live, right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.